It occurs to me that at this point the central question is simply put, what did the president know and when did he know it? Question asked by Senator Howard H. Baker, Jr. during the testimony of John W. Dean before the Senate Watergate Committee, June 28, 1973. Preface. The report of the arrests in the early morning hours of June 17, 1972, of five men who had broken into the Watergate complex offices of the Democratic National Committee, DNC, wearing business suits and surgical gloves, their pockets stuffed with $100 bills, was something like a scene from a circa 1940s low-budget black-and-white gangsters B-movie. This caught-in-the-act stupidity seemed too dumb to be ours, since the undertaking was so conspicuously illegal and inexplicably risky, not to mention obviously bungled. But this political surveillance debacle did turn out to be ours, the work of a ham-fisted team of amateurs assembled by G. Gordon Liddy, a former Nixon White House staff member, who was then serving as general counsel of the finance operation of the Committee to Re-elect the President, CREEP. This was, in fact, the opening scene of the worst political scandal of the 20th century and the beginning of the end of the Nixon presidency. It was the start of Watergate, a story that has been told and retold, but never as I am going to tell it in the pages that follow. The central character in Watergate was, of course, the President of the United States, Richard Nixon. From beginning to end, Nixon sought to defend himself and his presidency from the political and legal consequences that followed the arrests at the DNC on June 17, 1972. This is the story of Nixon's defense, the story I found when trying to understand how someone as politically savvy and intelligent as Richard Nixon, a man who surrounded himself with those he thought the best and brightest, allowed this third-rate bungled burglary to destroy his presidency. The story of the Nixon defense is Richard Nixon's Watergate story. Most of Nixon's Watergate-related activities were secretly self-recorded. These surreptitious recordings eventually revealed that Nixon's public Watergate defenses were colossal deceptions, patent lies that eventually forced his resignation. Nixon's secret recordings provided much of the overwhelming evidence that sent his former top advisors to prison, not to mention forced his own early retirement. So some of this story has been around for several decades. Investigators and prosecutors, however, were not interested in the context and circumstances of Nixon's ill-conceived defensive efforts. Rather, they focused only on select portions of conversations that could provide evidence establishing wrongdoing beyond a reasonable doubt, so as to end any malfeasance and punish malefactors. Historians, in recounting the Watergate story, have relied largely and almost exclusively on the information gathered by the Watergate investigators and prosecutors. Remarkably, historians and other students of the Nixon presidency have chosen to ignore the full collection of secretly recorded White House conversations relating to Watergate, which slowly but surely have become almost fully available over the past four decades. Before now, no one has attempted to catalog and transcribe all of Nixon's Watergate conversations, and to examine and reconstruct this history based on this primary source material, the likes of which has never before existed. The account in the pages that follow is based on this unique collection, and it is presented not as transcripts, but rather as narrative and dialogue drawn from and based on them. The story that follows is a first-person account of what I found in this unique historical record. In telling this story, I have only edited the transcripts to make them readable and understandable, correcting the obvious anomalies that inevitably occur in spontaneous conversations, and often compressing material to report its essence. Almost all of the conversations from which this account is drawn are available online at the Nixon Presidential Library's website, http://nixon.archives.gov/virtuallibrary/tape-excerpts/index.php. The exceptions are those from June 1972, which are available at the Miller Center, which is devoted to presidential scholarship at the University of Virginia, http://web2.millercenter.org/rmn/audiovisual/whrecordings.